call the Economic Development, Tourism, Housing, Planning, and Transit Committee to order. I want to thank everyone for coming. Krista, would you take roll?
James Maloney.
Present.
Hector Rodriguez.
Present.
Jennifer Ford Turkey.
Present.
James Maloney.
Here.
Ron Black.
Here.
Herbert Lips.
Here.
Mary Beth Mayo.
Here.
Thank you, Krista. Just something aside, I know we can do this at the beginning or the end, but why don't we do it now? I'm sure as everyone knows, Krista Barringer will be leaving the employment of the county tomorrow for greener pastures, and I would like to thank you for all of your work. Everyone was circulating the minutes of February 4th electronically. I'm sure everyone had a chance to peruse them. Are there any additions, deletions, or corrections to be presented? Jennifer? Here's the legislative Berkey.
At the bottom, I thought I heard Deb say that they were working with the Hudson Valley Agency to evaluate the feasibility for a co-packing facility, not in discussion with Agribusiness Development Center. I just thought I heard that specifically we're going to be doing a feasibility study with them to co-packing feasibility.
It was correct when I said it. I thought I was going to be able to do that. I'm now not going to work on it.
Okay.
We are still planning on doing it. The when I said it, it was the Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Center. Yes, corporation, you're right. But because of procurement rules and whatnot, I may or may not be working.
Okay, I was just curious about that.
Yeah.
And also, somebody turned into a woman and another turned into Mr. Summers became his summers at the bottom.
Okay.
Very good.
I make a motion to accept the minutes as amended.
Second.
Second by Hector. Any other comments? All those who signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. We have a guest presentation tonight. Suzanne Falk, the Director of Economic Development, updating the committee on the Ellenville Million. And as per, I believe it was last month, Hector, or was it the previous month, it would be the meeting after the meeting of the UCEDA. So we had the EDA meeting last month.
Yep.
Here we are at the next meeting. So, Suzanne?
So I have a report. The Ellenville Million has 9 components that were approved by the legislature. And so we're moving forward with all 9 of them. The tourism and marketing campaign, the EDA put out an RFP, and committee chose BDG&G and their advertising firm in the Hudson Valley. And so they're going to start today, actually, March 1st, the contract starts. So they're going to be putting together a marketing campaign for the Ellenville area. The Hunt Memorial Preservation Committee is moving forward. They are renovating the building, and if you haven't been there, I suggest you took a tour at one point, and if you run on the tour, we can do it again. So I know that it's nice if you'd like. It's a real beautiful old building right in the heart of Ellenville. Shadowland Theater got a grant, did a successful grant application, they're going to be using this money as their match. So the state hasn't processed that yet, and they can't use this money until they get the state money. The self-lending fund, this is something that is, I've seen as a best practice in other parts of the country, so we're trying to hear. It's also, in addition to hopefully helping Ellenville, it'll be sort of a pilot for the rest of the county, and it's a fund that will, if you have infrastructure, if you're a newer growing business, it's infrastructure needs and job creation. It's a grant program. And unfortunately, well, today we've had one application, but it was a complicated business venture, and so it didn't meet the criteria. The Main Street Facade program is moving along. The rolls in the application are out there. There's been 8 applications requested and 1 completed, and we're expecting another one as well. So that's moving forward. With the Ellen Demillion, we contacted with Pattern for Progress to help administer 3 of the sort of more tricky components. And so Jonathan Dapkin from Pattern has been helping with the park. One of Ellenville's greatest assets is its parks and its natural resources, and they need help to improve the parks and as well as signage to make sure that people know, you know, for example, if Sam's Point is full, where else they can go to enjoy Ellenville. So that committee is working on that. Broadband is sort of, with Pattern's help, we've applied for a USDA technical assistance grant to figure out how best to implement broadband in Ellenville to get the most impact for economic development. But as I'm sure you're aware as well, with the FCC on hold, you know, we're waiting for them to approve the acquisition of Time Warner Cable by a new charter. And so really the whole county, except for Hardinburg, is on hold right now with anything we can do with broadband until we find out if that's approved and how that's going to progress. So that affects Ellenville as well. And then the last one is the water and sewer infrastructure improvements. And it's very complicated. And so Pattern is helping us to negotiate with consultants to really understand how best to put this together. There's many of the intermunicipal agreements between Ellenville and Worthing and infrastructure improvements to and with the Department of Correction as well. They've made a commitment verbally to fund up to 85% of the necessary work, but figuring out what's necessary is sort of complicated. So they're all moving forward.
Any questions for Suzanne Hector before? Just so everybody knows that if they want to do it again, Suzanne, what month was it? October, November?
12 months before.
When did we hold our meeting down in Ellenville? We actually took the committee, held the committee meeting in October. Okay, we went down and had the meeting right in Ellenville, and the committee toured all of the projects and buildings that are described here. So I think maybe in another month or so, maybe we'll do that again, go down and see, okay, for the new members.
Definitely.
Okay.
I would love to start off the improvements for the
hunt. Hector? Yeah. Luckily, we actually have all the new legislators actually here in one state, actually. Suzanne and or Ken or whoever, so the Ellenville Million, you know, where do each of these sort of funding streams sort of come from? So, you know, maybe that makes it kind of as good so everybody kind of understands, you know, how is the Ellenville Million paid for?
It came from the County General Fund. We're anticipating that when the casino in Sullivan is operating, that the county will get funds, but they're really not. I mean, so theoretically, it's going to be reimbursed by the state for the casino, but not in actuality. These were county funds that were designated.
In advance of the dollars that we expect to receive in the first one from it, there was a large license application that was made in the county. As an impacted community, it receives dollars from the casino, including the initial application. Those dollars are budgeted and anticipated to be received in 2016.
Do you all got that? Okay.
Yeah. So now the contract between the county and the EDA.
The state casino law works is that the host county receives a large portion of the dollars, and then the other counties within that region also receive a smaller share of the dollars to help offset impacts that are created by the casino in the region.
And that is on a continuing basis? That's not just a one-time job?
The concept was that Ellenville was so greatly impacted by the not receiving the casino license, that the right thing to do is to work with the community and identify the initial dollars that we're going to receive to help provide some economic development assistance to that community.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Suzanne? Thank you, Suzanne. All right. We have another special guest who's kind of not on your printed agenda, but it's handwritten on mine. We have Mr. Steve Rice here from the Trails Advisory Committee, and he wants to give us his yearly update report, which everyone has in their...
Thank you. don't expect you to read all 16 pages, 13 pages in 40 seconds.
Okay.
But I will be available to you to answer any questions. The first four pages cover a summary of what I'm trying to say. But we had another good year to support all of the legislature, the executive, and the volunteer community. We've made great progress this year, and we continue to plan great progress for next year. I want to answer any questions you may have. I hope I was clear enough in my report, if I don't go into detail. I would like to point out the report from the Hudson Valley Rail Trail. The amount of work they're doing on railroad museum stuff is amazing. They're really working with those producers. Now that they've got their trail fairly well matured to show the railroad history that was there. And those are the kinds of amenities that we hope to grow all across our trail system as we mature the physical asset, and then we can add the interpretive history. And this great demand, just before Hurricane Irene hit, I was contacted by some people in the Rochester area that wanted to run two buses into the area of railroad enthusiasts to look at rail trails and the things that we have. The weather kind of changed their plans. So the demand's out there for that kind of historical tourism, as well as the active recreation tourism. We hope to develop that moving forward. So if you have any questions, I'll be glad for you. My email and phone numbers are on file with everybody. And I appreciate you letting me crash a meeting. March 1st is my filing deadline. Legislative mandate to make this report.
And I do apologize for not getting back to you right away.
Not a problem. I need to keep trying, and I just couldn't. So.
Yeah. One quick question, kind of personal nature, but just more localized to the town.
Sure.
Is your focus or scope mainly towards the rail from the bridge, from the walkway to the reservoir? Here's where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Do you also have any purview over other not-for-profits, trail projects, or?
I have quite a bit of the way I'm positioned. I've been working on the O&W CMA corridor since 1984.
Okay.
And so I sit on boards and meetings that influence that. And I asked this year to have our committee expanded. If you look at the enabling legislation, we've gone to 13 voting members, and that was to accommodate a couple of very good candidates, John Morrow from the town of Ulster, and David Tolman from the Mohawk Reserve, who has taken a major land position just outside of New Paltz that needs to be developed in the trail system. So I have input if there's anything.
Well, my concern, I'll be honest, is kind of two parcels were donated to a conservancy group in the western part of the county, and right now they're just raw forest land, and sometime in the future they will be open to the public after the right ways and things like that. But my point is they get tax exempt for potential further in the future use. That's my only, just if there's any, maybe to speed up that availability to the public.
I'd like the information on that, because I might be able to put some bodies on getting it done, building facilities as well as opening the doors.
Understood. I'm just curious.
No, I don't know any of that, but I'm glad to help with that. And we don't limit ourselves to what trail ideas we work on. Anybody that comes through the door that has a good trail idea, we work to facilitate them and incorporate them in the overall plan.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Why don't we go right into resolution? Very appropriate. Mr. Wright is here. Resolution number 112, reestablishing the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee.
Second.
Any discussion?
The members right here.
Hearing none, all those signify by saying aye. Yes, you may.
I just want to say thank you for letting me sit on your committee for such a long time, and
I've been removed, but it's better because I had that conflict on that night, so it never worked out all together greatly. You know, there was a full moon and something that moved over. But thank you.
I just got to say this, Mary Beth, without coming to the meeting, did so much for us. It's a model for how somebody doesn't have to physically be present and doesn't want to be a champion.
Thank you.
So we really appreciate all your work for us.
Thank you.
How come you never said this?
I was in another meeting. It wasn't like I was home
again. Any other further discussion?
I don't know if we have resumes. Do we have resumes for Hefner and Gerson?
We'll need to review those prior. Except this now, just to all those signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Moving right along, resolution number 127, supporting passage of such and such to authorize ride sharing in the state of New York. A06090/Senate 04280.
I'll move it.
Legislator Hefner.
No. Well, for discussion purposes, I'll move it.
Yes, and I'll second it. Would you care to just enlighten the committee on exactly what this is?
Thank you. The two pieces of legislation that this more or less resolution is supporting, it's known as ride sharing. The most common intermediary is Uber. So unless it's just Uber, that's, you know, yeah, speaking of here, this legislation, the state legislature, is supported by two representatives from parts of Ulster County in the Senate, Senator Seward, and the Assembly, Assemblyman Cahill, both in their respective majorities. That's one reason why I wanted to push this memorializing resolution issue, because I do believe it's on the cusp of passing in New York State, but it lingered a little bit, and I believe that as a local government and as Ulster County, we should add our voice to push for this option in our communities. I believe that ride sharing would be a good economic stimulus for our community. Just for example, in Hoboken, New Jersey, which is a little bigger than the city of Kingston, but, you know, smaller city, roughly 30% of Uber rides start and or end at a small business, where in Ulster County at times public transportation can be limited. Uber expands that. It connects local residents with safe, reliable, and most importantly, affordable transportation. For example, I just want to point out that becoming Uber driver, you are subject to extensive background checks. An Uber driver goes through screenings that include social security traits, criminal background checks, the pulling of a person's motor vehicle registration file, and that includes searches in various cases of sex offenders and suspected terrorists. The biggest issue that's blocking Uber from being, it's currently in New York City and it's not north of New York City. Currently, Buffalo is the largest city in the United States that doesn't have ride sharing. That's because current insurance regulations in New York State do not encompass the concept of ride sharing. In this legislation, that definition is transportation network facility, but it's ride sharing. So simply this legislation would include the concept of ride sharing under New York State insurance regulations so that these business models could then operate in Ulster County. Because for this business model to work, obviously insurance is really important. While a fare is in place for Uber, that ride is under $1 million in liability insurance. So, it's, you know, they need this small little change, but it's crucial for the business model. So I'll be happy to answer any other questions on the committee might have.
Any other questions for legislator?
Go ahead.
No, please.
So, this is just to begin it, because, I mean, what you're saying, there's a lot of other pieces to it. So this is just saying we're interested in it, and then we'd get more on how this would all really come together
and
work?
Well, Uber or ride-sharing service even exists north of New York City. The only reason why it exists in New York City we did actually kind of remove pull, they have the factory on the green commission. We were able to start the deal that allows them to operate within the parameters in New York City, because they categorize themselves as poor or higher, so it's not technically ride sharing, it's only through the loophole. But the expense is, this law needs to, this amendment to the state insurance statute needs to pass to include ride sharing in its language, for them to be able to offer that liability insurance while performing the service. After that is in place, then also county and local governments like the city of Kingston, for example, or the town of New Falls, we can put forth, you know, fine-tuned regulations to best fit the needs of our communities, but that can't happen until it exists.
So this is just in general support of the law moving forward. It would still then be reviewed by local municipalities.
Yeah, for example, one of the ride-sharing companies, not as big as it is, but Lyft, tried to circumvent this and go forward, but they didn't get proper local authority in Syracuse or Rochester. Attorney General went after them. I think they paid close to $500,000 in fines already.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, necessary, and, you know, local municipalities do necessary.
Any other thoughts? Thank you, Mr.
All right.
Is there a factor for discussion?
I will give you a second to that.
Mm-hmm. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. Thank you very much. Resolution 140, approving the execution of a contract, amending, causing the aggregate contract amount to be in excess of $50,000, introduced by the County and National Business Equipment, LLC, Department of Information Services. Sylvia, please.
National Business Equipment is the vendor that is providing and maintaining our print environment. So we, last year, went to all counties and evaluated the situation and was able to optimize our printing by and saving us $8,000 a month by renegotiating leases and replacing old devices that were redundant in departments and expensive. We went back through to evaluate how everything was going with the services because of their workflow. We needed to put a few more devices in there through the same line queuing up. So we're purchasing 6 new devices for social services and putting them on our existing contracts. And even after taking that into account, we're still saving $6,000 a month over our previous printing expenses. And that doesn't even include the energy savings will come out to about $1,000 a month.
Any other questions for Sylvia?
And I don't know, Krista, I don't know if there's an issue on our end or on the other end. It looks like the, sort of the, within the resolution, we don't actually have the usual,
Yes,
cut out.
Cut out
every
resolution
that we got.
In the packet today?
But
yeah, we have a copy.
Okay. Conveniently, there is no information on this resolution. That's right. Seriously, no. So the question is it 100% county?
Yes.
Okay, because that's normally my first question. As you know, is it 100% county? It's like, oh, yeah. All right. I trust you, so I'm not going to get too deep into this, but are you guys still located 25 South Manor Avenue? I feel like Mike Brawny should be there for that when that eventually should happen.
Actually,
Richmond Brawny since 2003. I know. And Mike had a show. Anyway, that's it. Sorry.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Resolution 141, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate contract amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with Environmental Systems Research, Inc., Department of Information Services.
So environmental, It is a software vendor that we purchased our GIS, Geographical Information System software from. And several departments in the county use that software to create geographical representations of data. So they'll collect data on particular properties, wetlands, and they'll be able to display it in that form of analysis on it. And this is now being used by several departments, either NIS, planning uses it quite a bit, Department of the Environment, real property, anybody who's using geographic data. This is the annual maintenance to take care of updates to that software.
For the year.
As all those departments. I think this is great. I have a different question. I'm actually on their mailing list, and they keep on spamming me. So how do I get off of that? That's what I've got a problem
with.
I know, but I can't find it for some reason.
Oh.
All right, that was a joke, admittedly. No. We're good. It's a great program. It's a great service. So.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But just a quick question. I was just wondering why the secondary maintenance fee or why is this not just the primary maintenance fee?
It should be that. Oh, and there's more. The secondary, there's more quantity.
Okay.
So if you look at it, I think there's five.
Okay.
Secondaries and one primary.
And just one other quick question. I don't see the business analyst on here. Do I ever use business analyst? Because it's one of the extras that's very useful for economic partners. But I just wondered if we can see or don't have a subscription to that.
I'm not aware of that.
Okay. It's separate. It's expensive, but it's very worthwhile for looking at decisions or something like that.
Sylvia, thank you. As everyone has seen the maps that are produced and show up in the planning department and a lot of other departments, because they usually originate either planning or the information service. One thing everybody should know with the solar farms is a big topic throughout the county. There's developers looking at large tracts of land. Helicopters are flying all over the place. But where I'm going with this, I believe it was the DEC just did a flyover and produced a data set that the county is in possession of topographical information. And it's the DEP is doing a color imagery flyover right now. So that should be available in another 4 to 6 months.
Yeah.
But with up-to-date topical information, you look at a solar farm, you may want to have the right height trees to shield it so everyone doesn't have to look at it when the ground stands. So just something to staff here. It's something new that the county just got a hold of.
If I may, Jim, all of the pertinent layers that are created throughout the county or acquired from state agencies for like are accessible on our website to our portal viewer, so you can go on and turn on and off layers that you might be interested in.
Okay.
So,
very interesting department. Everybody should visit it. Thanks, Sylvia.
Taylor?
Question.
Call the question.
I thought I did.
Okay.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thanks. You're welcome. Resolution number 141.
Anytime.
144. Approving the execution of the contract amendment in excess of $50,000 issued into by the county with Garden and Judith, DTC, Department of Planning. Dennis?
How much does take this if you don't mind?
Yeah.
This for the new number, which is the Kingston Rail Trail Project, which is the connector trail between the city of Kingston and the existing Hurley Rail Trail, which is also referred to as the OMW Rail Trail. We began this project in 2010, and then it got sidetracked due to lack of funding. In 2014, the legislature updated the project and added some money, and we began design shortly after that approval. In doing the design, we assessed two possible routes to do that connection, one using the old O&W corridor, which is used informally as a trail, and the other using the UNV corridor and going down Route 209. We're now at the point where we've finished the draft design report and submitted it to the DOT. We have chosen the O&W route, which is the less expensive and more direct route. What we're essentially authorizing through this is the second phase of design. The first phase was a preliminary look and a scoping of the two alternatives. This is a detailed final design of the O&W with ground survey and some of the right-of-way incidental work. So the original contract was actually smaller than this. It was $90,000, you know, to do cost estimates and assessment of the two. This is $154,020. You had approved a so this is right on par with what you approved in the capital budget, which was $245,000. We're still on schedule to move to construction of this facility next year, so we're doing pretty well on it. And when that runs, we will have an additional 1.8 miles connecting to the 13-mile O&W trail. And as you may know, there's efforts further south on that trail to connect it all the way down to Ellenville and Sullivan County. Mm-hmm. It's a nice move forward.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Mr. White?
One other point. This is 80% federal funding, 20% state.
Even better.
Can you correct that? Is that here? No, you're correct. Never mind.
Let the next not correct that.
After move.
Move.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
Thank you, sir.
Resolution 145, approving the execution of the contract for $750,000 entered into by the county with RUPCO, Inc., the Department of Planning. Dennis?
This is a contract that is a direct result of an award the county received from Community Development Block Grant Fund. The award was $750,000 out of the contract amount. Approximately $117,000 goes to RUPCO for the delivery of the project. That includes costs for RUPCO in terms of outside contractors that they need to use in order to essentially begin that. And so the remaining of the funds goes, this is a substantial portion of those funds goes to the direct assistance to the homeowners. And then the county receives about $17,500 in what's called our administrative costs. So $615,000 directly to the homeowners, $117,500 to RUPCO for what they call program delivery and administration, and there's outside costs associated with that that the company has to spend, and then $17,500 to Ulster County for its administration costs. RUPCO is something called a subrecipient under the grant. They're part of the reason that we get the grant because of their experience and their ability to deliver these grants. We are audited on these. They usually take about 2 years to complete. We are audited as soon as completion complete throughout the final audit now with RUPCO with no findings.
That's good.
Very good.
Any further discussion? Hector, question?
Nope.
Is there a motion to approve this?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
Yeah. All right. I think I'll vote yes right now, but I don't know how many on the floor.
Okay. Resolution 166, authorizing the chairman of the Elsa County Legislature to direct an executive of an agreement with New York State Department of Transportation to accept New York.
I'll move it.
So second.
The length of the Department of Public Transportation
and it really is for mitigation purposes for traffic. We had it locked in for 5 years. This is 1 year.
Okay. Sounds good. Any other questions?
So there's not going to be any changes in any of the routes or anything? You're going to phone
the
wall?
Is the health kitchen the one?
I'm fine. I killed you. You're dead.
Then move in second.
I was going to say that Mr. DiBella, thank you for running between this and the loop. They're probably the two most successful programs probably in your portfolio.
That's all part of this
Tom, just a question I probably should have asked, is what the new route doing with Ulster Gardens?
It seems to be working just
fine.
Not a lot of traffic on
that. That's my question.
My best is just out several hours ago. And then right now it's a temporary.
Resolution 167, authorizing a public hearing is required for the achieving of homeownership for all that county program funded through the Community Block Development Grant Program BG as administered by the Office of Community Renewal Department of Planning. Public hearing for this. Any discussion? Is there a motion and second?
Mm-hmm.
Motion by Mary Beth, second by Jennifer Murphy. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 168, adopting and issuing an aggregate declaration of the New York CRR Part 16 State Environmental Quality Review Act, secret by the Ulster County Legislature for the construction of the Houston Rail Trail, Capital Project 334, Department of Planning. Moved by Actor, second by Mary Beth. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 169, appointing an alternate member to the Ulster County Planning Board, Pat Ulster.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? I believe that person is one Anna Hunter. Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 170, reauthorizing the update of the county-wide economic development strategy for tomorrow. Legislator Rodriguez and Chairman Ronk and I had emails back and forth this afternoon. This has been put on the agenda for discussion.
For the purposes of discussion, I'm just going to move it and
I'll
second it.
Exactly.
So, probably about 2 years ago, thank you, Mr. Chair. So about 2 years ago, I had brought this up to the committee. You know, I was no longer on the committee, but you know, we said for a while that we need to probably work on an actual economic development strategy. And last time that we did this, Mr. Chair, you know, you were still on this committee, and we were in the legislature together, and it was a pretty successful process with regards to bringing people together for really like the first time. We actually had people in the development community, people who were in the nonprofit sector, people who were in the environmental sector, actually kind of sitting together, actually talking, and somewhat, you know, to a degree, finding that common ground. In addition, it identified several sectors, actually many of which you'll actually see in other documents kind of going forward. But we had a really overall successful process, and I think it also brought together a lot of different county departments. Somebody, actually two people who deserve a lot of credit, were Dennis and Jennifer, for helping out make that possible. And Dennis, I'm saying something nice about you, because look up more stuff than I can say. It's so rare. So one of the things is that, you know, we sort of felt, I think, for a little while that we want to kind of kick off this discussion. And so the purpose of this was not, even 2 years ago, the purpose of it was not to go in passes. Part of it was to kind of get the conversation started off, and now we're having it to a certain degree. So I don't know if anybody has any questions or just, I guess I should probably ask before I go any further. Has anybody actually seen the original document, Terminal to Tomorrow?
So I would need to.
You were kind of a
little question. That doesn't mean I've read it.
A rather cumbersome document.
There were actually two different versions. There was the executive summary, and then there was a much, much larger.
Talking about the much, much larger.
Yes, I know.
Basically, it's been a very large, comprehensive outline. Hector, I have no problem in always looking to, you know, expand and sharpen our edge. Okay, we are competing in a worldwide economy, and whoever can put the best, most benefits on the table will win the business. Everyone looks at that. But one thing, where is the money going to come to do this? And just something to throw it out there. And also, the legislature is the policy-making body, okay, on the sixth floor. If we direct the executive to do it, are we transferring that right, or that's our duty to the executive? These are part of these things need to be discussed.
Sure. No, and again, that's perfectly fine. When this was written, it was, to a certain degree, putting more of the ball on that side of the office's court, so to speak. I think there was a bit of uncertainty 2 years ago about how the legislature was going to sort of function, and so when I wrote it, that was sort of part of my thought process. Clearly now I think we have a new group of legislators. We have somebody with a great deal of expertise because you were involved in it the first time, Jen. So I think that I don't mind rewriting significant portions of this to reflect that, but I think that I would hope that there's at least a commitment from this body to actually to engaging in this process. I mean, even the executive in conversation with them has actually repeatedly said, you know, this is the idea of a strategic plan should probably come from the legislature as the policy making it. So I'm taking a man's word on that one, and we'll, you know, we can work on that. Now, admittedly, last time it was the old form of government, and we were able to pull from the various agencies very, very quickly. Dennis, you remember the exact circumstances, and they were actually somewhat unpleasant, actually, at the time.
Yeah, actually, we're doing it for the Humphrey
Yeah. So, please.
We actually transferred the money. It was ran through the planning department. We actually transferred the money to the Development Corporation, and the Development Corporation and the Planning Department together did the work. The other thing is that it was actually adopted as an element of the county's comprehensive plan, and as such, it has legal significance. And I would point out that the charter gives some powers to the planning department and the planning board with respect to the comprehensive plan. So if you are proceeding on the basis of a comprehensive plan element, and there is some language in the charter that would support the idea of having it run through some of the executive side of the budget.
Thank you. I mean, actually, right now we have the UCEDA, which was previously the UCDC. Mm-hmm. You have an IDA. When you go back to the EDA, you and I are both board members. of that. They have requested, put out RFPs, and looking at marketing, you know, plans, ways, you know, projects within there. I think we need to have a comprehensive sit down and have a, you know, a sensible, and I don't need to use the word sensible versus reckless, discussion.
Okay.
don't take it the way it does right there.
I'll keep your sword in there on that. That inextraordinarily inarticulate way you said. But that said, I see that, Jim. So you rest up, and we'll get back to this. But the issue becomes, and again, this is, I don't mind that we incorporate different partners into this project. But of course, I'm open to that. You know, I mean, again, initially, you know, we were throwing in someone in the executive court. I have no problem with the EDA, which I think it technically, at a very technical level, isn't the executive the sole member who's got to appoint other members. So, you know, technically the EDA technically is the executive, through his appointees, but I'm just saying, but technically the executive. So I have no problems, you know, with the various departments. Look, I recognized early on this was, in fact, very much a problem because previously, you know, we were able to kind of bring planning, UTDC, the IDA, by the way, contributed money to this process as well. So, you know, previously when we did this, we were able to, because it was one, well, government, it was easier to be able to kind of go in full of pieces. Well, now we've got different partners, which will, of course, have to draw to the table. Mm-hmm. So I have no problem with that, Jim. Not at all, Mr. Chair.
Very good. If I may, the cumbersome document is a very articulate framework.
Thank you, Dennis.
I think, you know, we've taken it at its face value and continue to work on it, both with since it was adopted in 2009 as an element of the comprehensive plan. There's been a significant amount of work on that, and I think that needs to get recognized. A couple of things I wanted to say. One is, as you mentioned it, Hector, which was the NECDA, essentially the Oceanic Economic Development Agency, did complete a cluster analysis, which was an update of the cluster analysis that was done. And there is a significant amount of recommendations within that that the development corporations in the Department of Action. The other thing is that we did complete and work on a Main Street program. And out of that Main Street program came a USDA grant that is now being housed in the development corporation that can loan money for Main Street work. We just talked about, and Suzanne just talked about the idea of having the Hudson Valley Agricultural Development Corporation continue to look at that one piece of the development of Wolf of Tomorrow, which is agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been moved forward. The other piece was marketing, and the development corporation is currently working on marketing. And it's in its second year of a significant marketing campaign. The other thing that we did complete is we received grant funding and we did an update of the county shovel ready fund. And if you look at the capital program now contains money on an annualized basis for the capital for the shovel ready fund. Looking at that, there's been discussions about doing a call for project with respect to shovel ready fund. So the only people that know about it are more than those that essentially that you know, have an opportunity to apply. And last but not least, I would offer the fact that your own IDA has, on an annualized basis, the idea that they review their unified tax exemption policy. The legislature's participation in that would be welcomed, I think, from the IDA's perspective. You've had certainly difficulties with respect to how the IDA's tax exemption policy affects communities. You're going to see public hearings on that policy very shortly. So the legislature looking at that and participating in that is something that offers some opportunities, in particular as it relates to the recent cluster analysis that was done. So you have some opportunity to look at that cluster analysis and begin to say, this is how the UTEP policy should follow a cluster map.
We mentioned the cluster analysis in the resolution. And also, one that you didn't mention was the Brownfield strategic.
Yeah, I was going to. I hadn't gotten to it. Thank you.
Which is, we wrote several years ago, and it's got funded. which really will allow some of the less desirable sites to move forward.
Yep.
So,
you should be seeing from us probably next month a contract resolution for consultants to begin that round of process. We've had a committee come together, and then once that contract, we're in the process of choosing consultant, we're down to two, and then we should be able to choose that consultant. And once that committee comes, once that consultant's on board, we will form a very, because it's prescribed in the contract as part of the state, robust citizens participation plan, because it's called the Project Steering Committee. And that's prescribed, and you'll see that work being done. That's countywide. Within that contract, there's a responsibility for us to identify at least 5 cluster areas, unless it's a pre-nomination study. Why is this important? Because when you look at underutilized and contaminated sites, one of the things that happens once you've finished through the nomination process, you're actually eligible for a significant amount of tax credit under the Brown Cut Opportunity Area.
But in that vein, with all the different pieces that have sort of that you just outlined right now, those are all different areas that, to a certain degree, should be kind of incorporated. Ultimately, all of our actions should be theoretically, kind of going towards that strategic plan, and it helps actually guide, hopefully, those other areas that we're all up in the bucket, right? Especially with, we've got the IEA that actually not only, of course, that can induce bonds, but also it's got a pot of money on top of that for small things. We have a revolving loan fund that I am hopeful is going to be constituted soon, what's that? We'll be hopefully loaning out money to those strategic, businesses and areas that we're looking to help them promote. So, Dennis, you already know how much I think of your work and everything that you've done for this county for a very, very long time. Truly.
You had to say Gary. You didn't use two Gary.
I actually said take 3 Gary, but I don't want people to know that you started when you were 12, and you just stayed here for some unknown reason. But that said, that's part of what hopefully we can start doing, and maybe, Mr. Chair, you just brought up, with UCEDA, I keep thinking about it, I'm calling it EDA, by the way. UCEDA just sounds weird, but the EDA can, it may be people who must actually have a discussion of this at the next EDA meeting, and we actually have, don't we have one coming up on
March?
And maybe it can be a discussion item, for that meeting at the very end after we transact all the other business. But, Jennifer, you guys want to hear something?
Okay, I think my main question is that we don't have to necessarily discuss it in here, if we can take offline, so to speak, a way of communicating maybe a little bit more directly. I don't mean to circumvent the rule, but I'm just wondering if there's a way that we can maybe set up a schedule of discussions so that, because this seems like a bigger discussion, just getting up to speed on all the information that we don't, all the contracts and plans that we haven't seen. So it's just a suggestion.
Well, one thing that I understand exactly, I support what you just said. Dennis, you just said a lot, and I'm not someone that wants to create work for you, but just to give basically an overview and look to the IDA and the EDA to do the same, just to try to get one common document, just so everyone understands where we are today. Mm-hmm. Hector, your initiative with this is, believe me, I support it, but I think a lot of it needs to be pulled together before we just say let's update or let's go forward with an Ulster tomorrow. There's so many things that are going on.
Sure. And again, I want to stress this. It was literally putting something on paper to get the conversation started, and which is why, I made sure I called you about it and told Kenny about it before. I know, Jim.
You didn't call me.
Next time I'll call you.
Thank you.
Although you don't call me either. But anyway, that said, it is literally to start to get this thing moving, and that was its intent. And it's a thing where I was hopeful that we would have started a few years ago, but that didn't happen. It's okay. We're here now.
Here we are.
So,
Dennis, can I count on you for potential thing like a rock. Chris don't have enough to do, but
I'd actually give
them.
I mean, so they said, can we actually maybe also kind of begin to have that conversation as to how, you know, the different sides can be participating together on this?
I think that we've said all along that we share a common goal here. Our interests are totally aligned.
Yep.
So let's, you know, you want to get us.
I do.
Yeah.
I'll move at this time to actually postpone this resolution. Probably just, again, for discussion purposes for, mm-hmm. for our next meeting.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mary Beth. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor? Table or postpone?
Postpone.
This resolution.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. On your new business, moving right along. Amending the 2016 Ulster County budget and authorizing a request for proposals for poll by poll assessment to increase broadband access in Ulster County for discussion only. All right. Motion, Hector?
It'll wait to be under consideration for April, but it does, and even then, quite honestly, it really is, again, for discussion purposes, you know, myself, Chairman Ronk, Legislator Berkey was there, you know, at a association meeting, and we end up having a discussion about broadband, and actually, former legislator Archer was actually there presenting, and we also had the chance to talk to Tom Staglione from the governor's office. So, Lynn, I don't know if you want to sort of help fill us in from what that discussion was that happened with the Professors Association.
Yeah, I guess in January there was a decision to table the RFP process for broadband, which I agree with. I mean, at the end of the day, it was a very comprehensive strategic plan about, you know, not just understanding what our issues were, but, you know, what technology we should be using and how we should be building out, who should we be partnering with. Having said that, I think the missed opportunity here, and I think the most critical, as I see it, is getting a good handle on where our issues are. In Rochester, we did a study on a poll-by-poll basis. We have statistical problems with what the state reports, with what the internet providers report, and it's inconsistent. And so for us to be able to have a say in whatever the state decides, how they're going to divvy up the money and with the providers, it would be great for the county to have a sense of what's our baseline. Where do we have issues? What our issues are? We have some anecdotal comments, and some towns more than others have done some work around this, but I think that it would behoove the county to have a baseline understanding of where our mid-mile, last-mile issues are, where we're wired, where we're not, and how does that play out. And it's just a pure baseline analysis of where is their wired service today.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of... I was asked to kind of present the discussion at the supervisors meeting, and it kind of precipitated this conversation. And we've had conversations. I spoke with Chris, and I totally understand Time Warner does play, with the eminent merger, that plays a different level. But again, in past experiences, they've not always been, Time Warner has not always been either knowledgeable, intentionally or unintentionally, about where there was real wired service or not. And, you know, we've had many debates at a town level about, well, it's not there, yes, it's there, and then we actually brought residents in with Time Warner and found out there isn't wired service there. So I guess it's all of that just comes down to be able to play for some of the money that's out there. I think we need to have a better understanding of where we have access to our service and where we don't.
And, you know, in that vein, you know, there was a representative from the governor's office there who actually said, if memory serves, and please, Jennifer or Lynn, correct me, had said that the state, while the state also recognized that, you know, they were hoping to try to facilitate getting Time Warner Cable to provide the data points, they still recommended that the counties would need to do their own research to be able to go and verify, and that gets back to be able to do the house, you know, poll by poll assessment. So that was not a too critical, but it was, you know, something that was new for me at least. And so, you know, I've discussed this with the executive who has voiced support for doing a poll by poll assessment. So I'm very, very pleased by that. And the planning department is also, I think I want to speak with the planning department, but that you guys are also in that same mode. So part of this was, again, getting a jumping off point. And Mr. Chair, you know, you and I discussed this a bit today as well. I mean, while this is a draft, it's to get this conversation going for our April meeting. So I don't know if I'll shut that.
No. Chris? If I might, we had done a lot of work to queue up a broadband study that was really comprehensive. It was four things. It was a gaps analysis. It was an analysis of what effective standards would be by industry, by area. It was a business plan document so that we could actually take it to the state for funding, and it was also an implementable list of projects. The reason we had lined that up is the new New York broadband program was working its way to release. And we knew that the state was going to have $500 million available to try to fill these last mile gaps, to hit these rural roads where maybe at the main road you have service, but three houses up you don't. And the governor's recognized that's an issue. The other issue is that the speeds weren't meeting the needs of modern technology needs. So you had areas that had insufficient capacity for downloading. What we were preparing essentially was the document to go with an application that the county would have submitted. And so we were right at the 12th hour actually with this contract. We had a contract with a firm that we had identified through a competitive process, a firm called Magellan from Colorado. And what we were looking for is a document that would sell the state on why invest in Ulster County. 2 days before this was going to go to the first committee, we had put the contract in for approval, as you know. The governor did the announcement of the grant program, and in that he basically said two very important things. The first was there were only certain eligible areas that could do it, and they were announcing the same day conditions that they were going to put on the proposed merger of Time Warner Cable with Charter Communications. They're going to merge into new Charter. And through that merger, they're requiring a lot of this last mile work to be done. It's just not clear where it's going to be done. So in addition to announcing this grant program, they said, and by the way, the areas that are mostly Time Warner Cable, that are 19 of our 20 towns, are not eligible for the first round of grants at all. And an applicant would have to be the service provider, not the county. And so it really changed. Dennis and I grappled with, okay, we're doing a study that, firstly, the deliverable is no longer needed. Secondly, the scope of the study doesn't make sense. You know, we would scale it down and focus it. And thirdly, the information might be obsolete by the time we even wrote the report. Subsequent to that, we had a meeting with Time Warner Cable and two follow-up calls. We've also just, by the way, met with their competitor, Light Tower. Dennis and I have gone up to Albany to the NYSAC conference on broadband, and we've also had a conference call with the Broadband Program Office. And through that process, we also learned that there are changes going on right now. For instance, in all of Time Warner Cable's deployed areas, they're going to 300 megabits per second by this summer. So you'll read about the PFC saying that they have to go to that speed by 2018. They told us, once the governor announced this, they said, look, we already have it in our capital plan. Ulster County is one of the first areas that's going to... So if you have coverage, you're going to have up to advertising. Again, we can argue whether or not you really have 300.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know, there's a lot of issues. The Time Warner Cable's not a great player here.
Yeah.
And we started with that assumption. But
even now people are paying, you know, X amount and they're only actually really getting, like, you may be paying for 30 and you're only getting 6.
Right.
What it was doing
was a computer and a web-based service where you could actually find your speeds and survey it. To shorten this, the things that we were going to study, available speeds, the cost for service, the footprint, in the next 6 to 12 months are changing radically. So that baseline that we're studying, if we start, I'm glad we didn't start this in November, because we have been spending taxpayer money on an obsolete study. What we've done is we suspended the RFP, and even the vendor that we had lined up agreed that made sense, and we've made an arrangement to speak with them again in April. We talked to Time Warner Cable just the other day about trying to get their mapping. They basically said, look, we're not going to give you our mapping. We're fighting with the state of New York. We don't. And you have to understand, there's such a large company that New York State only represents 10 to 15% of their coverage area. So they don't care what Ulster County wants. And what we're doing is we're continuing to have conversations. We're trying to have a follow-up conversation with the broadband program office. One of the conditions of the merger was Time Warner Cable, once this goes through, within 45 days, they have to give the state of New York a set of maps showing where they're going to increase their deployment, and they have to pass an additional 145,000 households. We had no sense even what 145,000 households out of how many? And we got a sense of that the other day. You know, the Time Warner Cable said, well, it might be around 200,000. So, again, this is an issue that's moving quickly. It's changing quickly. And what we would like to do is see what comes out of that process and then focus this. I don't need to study broadband standards. The governor's office has already answered that. I don't need to have a business plan like the Magellan study, because we're not at the table. It's Time Warner Cable. What we could do is a gap analysis, but I'd like to do that after we see, you know, where they just threw the cards up, and I want to see where they land, so we don't spend money studying 20 towns when we may only need to do 3 towns. So I appreciate the conversation. Understand, we feel the urgency as much as you do on this. I mean, I'm going to be very honest here. I was tasked with doing this in April, and I was so busy with the rail trail stuff and just trying to learn all this broadband stuff, which I didn't know much about. I didn't get it done until December. And, you know, there was that's my office. That's me. And I'm kind of glad we didn't get there, because what we put together was really pretty on paper, but it wouldn't have delivered what we needed. The final question I have in my mind is, if you have the data, how is it usable? You know, if we have no mechanism to fill those areas, should we be looking at that question, or should we be looking at questions of things that we actually could do? Like, you know, if you start to think about these areas that are rural, and these programs addressing last mile, maybe start looking at urban neighborhoods and whether or not their libraries have sufficient wireless capacity. You start looking at equity issues, like people who don't have it, not because the wire doesn't pass their house, but because they can't afford it. And so what we're not giving up on this. We've only suspended it, but we want to, when we do this, we don't want to waste tens of thousands of dollars on information that, you know, is yesterday. And it's no longer usable or valid or even relevant to the conversation. Thank you.
And I agree. And I said from the get-go, I agree with the fact that you put together a very robust and comprehensive RFP. But at the end of the day, we still don't have a good handle on where we have last mile issues or mid mile issues. And just a simple, not, you know, a gap analysis of, really, just a simple pull by pull, where does it start, where does it stop, and a mapping of that It gives us gives us some information with which to then, as things more further evolve, understand where we even have the issue. We have an understanding anecdotally, but the pole by pole assessment that we did in our town gave us a leg up with Time Warner that we would not have had we not done that and had not had the conversations with them. So all I'm saying is that for us not to do just a simple pole by pole, whether it's engaging, which what we did is we had our hard lane folks go out and we started mapping it on the maps that we had. Even if there's a way of engaging the supervisors to help part of this process and try to do it in a cost-effective way, it doesn't do anything but give us information with which to then be able to push and make decisions versus waiting for Time Warner to tell us where they think we're wired and where we're not. So it's to their advantage if they have to commit to rolling out to X number of houses. I'm sorry, my experience with them, they've not been very forthright, and I'm not saying whether they knew it or they didn't have a good system of tracking it. I don't know which, but the fact of the matter is a huge discrepancy between what the state thought we had and what was really actual. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying let's go out and build a plan. Let's at least understand where we have issues.
I don't think we're disagreeing that we do something of that order, but it could be too simple just to go out and look at poles. For instance, Light Tower has fiber deployed in areas that they don't serve. So understand that aerial fiber doesn't necessarily equate with service. It's actually more complicated. And so you would not only want to do that, but you would want to then dig in with surveys of households, with discussions with people, and I'm not saying that we don't do that. I would just like to see how this rolls out over the next months, because it's a rapidly changing thing, and very frankly, I think that to go right now, by the time we were, it's not as simple as you're saying. You know, there's a cost.
Believe me, I totally get it, but we've already missed the first planning session that the Regional Economic Development Council did back in midsummer.
Yeah, but there's no opportunity that we miss. There are things that we can do, and there are things that we can't do. We cannot apply for the grant. These New York broadband grants, unless you want to be in the business of providing service, and that makes sense maybe for a municipality that has an electric utility that they already run, like they do out west. We talked to some of them.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we got bucket trucks. We have staff. We have a building system.
They're running around
the line. That makes sense. But unless we want to do that, you have to ask yourself, what does that data get us? Particularly if I got maps coming in 3 months that might say we've addressed two-thirds or three-quarters or 90% of it. And then I would say we focus in on the gaps after that.
Well, that's making the assumption that what you're getting, which I assume what you're getting and the maps you're getting are going to be coming from the providers.
They'll be coming from...
They won't give you individual households.
What I'm saying is the maps of where they're extending service will have to be delivered to the state within 45 days after the merger. They're thinking the merger should be approved by the end of April. You know, so again, I'm not talking about...
How do you validate anything? How do you say that these are the areas or not if you don't know where it is today? That's all I'm saying.
I think we've made our point on this side of the table, but
it's also in the lens of limited resources. I mean, we had set some dollars aside to do a study this year. We want to make sure that we spend those dollars wisely. I wasn't at this particular supervisor's meeting, but did they mention their willingness to do any cost share or to help complete the studies for their town?
While there was not a overall discussion, individual supervisors that I did speak to said that they were more willing to work with the county if there was something that was a coordinated effort. And indeed, while again, this is meant to promote the discussion. While you're seeing that there's a dollar amount of $65,000, it may be something minus if you end up working with the municipalities themselves, you know, and sort of subsidize the town of whatever, you know.
We're not adverse to, just understand, like, we found out 3 days ago that we couldn't get the maps from Time Warner. And we are playing this out methodically. We had sent a letter to Time Warner Cable saying, we'd like to get your baseline data, not the stuff that, you know, is at the census block level that goes to the FCC, but the real stuff. They have it. And we said we will sign a proprietary agreement. And after, what, I don't know, 15 minutes on the phone, Dennis and I were told, you know, basically, co-counsel. We are not going to give it to the state. We're not going to give it to you.
Yes,
very nice.
We
still have an outstanding request that they're making back to us on, which is, essentially, if you can't tell us where exactly the lines run, and you tell us which census blocks in Ulster County do not cover 100% of the census blocks. And that gives us an opportunity to do a poll by poll to focus on those areas where they tell us, not where they have service.
Well, that could make the whole process easier.
And that's why we're trying to do.
And the other thing we asked them is if they would make available their construction people to talk about just a subset of towns. And they said, well, what towns? And I said, the ones that we hear from. Well, Worthing, Rochester, Olive, Woodstock, Sorbury. And so they said, we'll get back to you on that. Because they did, before this merger came on, they sat down with Sullivan County, and they actually said, this is where we're extending service. You know, they just extended service in Denning.
He's
not been with the company for decades. And if you look at Sullivan, they're basket case in terms of broadband comparison.
Well, they've made huge progress.
Well, that's not what we hear from their planning department.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just one thing. I hear what everybody's saying, and I can believe me, I appreciate everything that's been said. But when you have your highway department went out and did hard data, actually you said other supervisors are saying they put together some type of program within
the
Is there any way just to get this ball rolling, to share that and have the information services? They will prepare a beautiful map.
We have a map for Worthing and Denning already, but Denning's already changed because Denning signed a franchise agreement with Time Warner Cable and they just did a major build out. So that's already obsolete.
So really then, if you have this already done, we need to wait to see.
Well, just done for our company. Now, there's still plenty of other ones that are not done.
I mean, we're not, we'd like to see how this lands over the next
month,
and then focus it in so that we're using the limited resources we have. I think something that we didn't have in this study is the equity issue, the economic equity issue. You know, I think it's great to run last mile. A lot of those people have means that people in the city of Kingston and the village of Ellenville and the village of New Paltz don't have. I mean, we have people that their kids can't get online because they can't afford the monthly fee. And so if I had, you know, I want to look at this holistically, not just this, last mile we fixed the problem. The problem is, you know,
it's just so you know, and let's be clear, you're simplifying it. All I'm saying is, it's not about just the last mile, it's about understanding where we have access to wires and where we don't.
But it is a mile issue.
But in some cases, yes, and in some not.
Well,
it's mid-mile as well. There's some mid-mile stuff there. That has not been addressed. And all I'm saying is that with a cohesive plan, we then can afford low-income sectors of the community a more reasonable access to wired broadband by having a cohesive plan with your providers. So I agree with you. We're saying the same thing. I have a sense of urgency around it because we've been talking about it now for quite some time, and I don't want it to be blocked. The minute it got tabled, you know I was on the phone. I just wanted to remove.
Yeah, you know, it was my recommendation to suspend it. And I pained over it. I wasn't, you know, but as I learned more, I really think it was the right decision. I think we need to make it wrong. So I would like to report back at some point soon, in a month or two, where we stand. Well, and
I think by next month, because I mean, you know, right now this is just putting for discussion purposes. Although, you know,
so you give us an update or minute.
Yeah,
happens. In the meantime, please let us know.
Absolutely, because we hopefully will have a final answer on the Warner Cable. If the we're trying to arrange the second call with the broadband program office to understand if they have any sense of how much of our county would be covered through the merger condition. They didn't know when we talked to them. In fact, that's what we hear a lot. We don't know. The merger's in play, and new Charter, which is Charter Communications, is going to be making the decisions. It may not even be the folks who we're dealing with now at Time Warner.
And I would only make one final point, because I agree. I think we're all saying the same thing and we're struggling how to get there. But, you know, when you look at Ulster County and you go on the state map, it looks like 90% to 5% of the county has access to wired broadband. It gives the impression we don't have a problem. And I guess that's where I think for the best. The state knows they have problems with their staff because they're not getting the information directly from the providers. So they're saying we have 95% access, and I am just stating when we did it on a local basis, that's not what we came out. It was a 20 to 30% difference. And if that happened in just the town of Rochester, what's the implication across the county? I'm just saying, I don't want the county to lose an opportunity to get some funding that could help multiple levels. And that's really why I'm staying on top of this and why I'm so an advocate on this.
I appreciate what Mr. Archer is saying. I think a couple of things the committee should be aware of is that it's not a question of essentially people not knowing where it is. It's a definitional question. And the reason it's a definitional question is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission basically says, which has regulatory power over broadband, says that if one person in the census block is served, the entire block is served. So what ends up happening from a reporting standpoint, they look at that and they say, we have an individual in that block that's served, therefore the entire block is served. In Ulster County, as you move out in the rural areas, since the blocks are divided by equal numbers of people, you have larger geographic areas which will look like they're served, even though it's only the person at the beginning of the road in that block that's served. So we're dealing with definitional issues, and we certainly understand that, and more importantly, the state of New York understands that. They know the limitations of the data that they're giving. So one of the things that in this, which essentially Chris mentioned, is this 145,000 more houses need to be picked. And that suggestion in talking with both the state and with Time Warner Cable is that's to deal with this issue that says you have full service in a single block with one house served in a block.
So it goes to the street and the household.
Whereas when we look at where the $500 million is going, it's going to whole blocks that are not served. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the eligible area, for example, in Ulster County where there's whole blocks that are not served, there's like four blocks in the town of Hardenburg that are eligible for the first round of funding.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. And there's maybe... That's where we've got a major disconnect. And, you know, and it's a thing where, you know, obviously before our next meeting in April, you know, maybe a thing where I'm going to start pursuing to get a little harder to go and talk with each of the town supervisors that we started talking with previous week. I mean, when I spoke to Carl Shipman, apparently it took Rochester a day to actually do their poll-by-poll assessment. Now, Rochester's a smaller, I mean, it's larger geographically, but it's got a smaller population.
I think it took longer than that.
According to Carl, it took a day.
Yes.
I was going to say, maybe you have a massive highway department. I'm just not sure about it.
No room in 2 hours.
That's right. I know, apparently. So, you know, I'm not trying to, again, I'm basing off what Carl said, but, you know, regardless, though, it may just be something that we're going to pursue a bit harder with each of the towns to actually get them invested in this. And actually, to be quite blunt, to get them with some skin in the game, because this affects them just as much, you know, as the same constituency that we serve. So it's not just on Alex. It's somebody different. It's us. So.
Any further discussion? Thank you, thank you, everyone. Thank you.